we present great stories from around the globe by some of the world's favorite writers in Springbok Library of the Air.
The convicts have arrived, sir.
Good. Get them to work immediately.
Yes, sir.
I want to see one of them personally. Number 9843.
Oh, that'll be O'Reilly, sir.
You know him by name, do you?
Well, he never stops talking, sir.
I see.
A very flamboyant character. Not like the usual type we have to deal with.
Yes. In his papers here, he's described as of healthy appearance, 5 feet 7.5 inches in height, black hair, brown eyes, oval visage, and dangerous.
Dangerous?
That surprises you, Fleming?
Oh, sir, he doesn't strike me as a violent man.
A man needn't be violent to be dangerous, Fleming. O'Reilly is a rebel, an ex-Hussar who's been sowing sedition in the ranks of the British Army. He's the type who must be watched.
Yes, sir. I understand.
The rest of the convicts will be easy to handle. The usual robbers, violent assault, wife-beating. But O'Reilly stands out as extremely dangerous. Bring him through to me now. Welcome to Bunbury, Mr. O'Reilly.
Bless you for that, Governor. And what a delightful spot this is.
You'll find the Australian climate most invigorating.
So I'm told.
And cutting jarrah trees
Builds up the muscles and gives a man a pair of broad shoulders.
Very true. But I do warn you, Mr. O'Reilly, that should you tire of the occupation and feel tempted to leave us...
As I undoubtedly shall...
The last gentleman who attempted to do so was found 5 weeks later dead from thirst and starvation. Bunbury is ideally suited for a penal settlement.
Yes, I can see it is ideal.
The sea is filled with sharks. A man couldn't survive out there for longer than 5 minutes, while behind us is a trackless wilderness. A man on his own would find it very unfriendly.
That I can well believe.
You were very foolish to behave in the way you did, Mr. O'Reilly. You're obviously a man of education. What a waste to spend the rest of your life cutting trees on a penal settlement.
The rest of my life.
Don't be tempted to escape.
As a prisoner of war, it is my duty to do so.
A prisoner of war?
That is what I consider myself, sir. A prisoner of war. My people are at war with England.
That is the wild, irresponsible talk of an idiot. Remember this, O'Reilly. As a conspirator, you were a dismal failure.
I was betrayed by that traitor, Talbot.
You roared seditious Fenian ballads in the barrack room and talked about secret oaths, arms from America, bombs and plots to blow up Buckingham Palace. Naturally, you were betrayed. And the lethargic castle authorities were forced to take action against you and your compatriots. As I said before, O'Reilly, you behaved like an idiot. Now, be advised by me. Don't come here and plan
to... As a prisoner of war, I shall do all in my power to escape.
Well, that, of course, is up to you, O'Reilly. You will find very little supervision of convicts here, and I've told you why. There are only 2 escape routes, and on both of them, death is waiting.
Give me some water, mate. You know, I've been thinking.
A very dangerous occupation.
I'm pulling out of here.
A single question, friend. How?
We can make a break for it.
When I arrived here, the governor reminded me that out there on the sea, sharks were waiting to grab venturesome convicts. While in this direction, there is trackless waste.
Well, I can't take much more of this, mate. Can't take much more.
In the past 5 years, 15 men have tried to escape.
Huh?
None of them made civilization. They found the bodies of 12. The rest have never...
But to plan proper.
To plan it proper. Outside help would be needed.
We could build a boat at night. We could, I tell you. I was a carpenter back home.
I'm an optimist at heart, but I don't believe in miracles.
Well, I'm going to do something.
You two over there!
Oh, no. It's us.
Come on, get moving. Move it, move it.
Now, help me. One day I'm going to push his face right in. Just see if I don't.
Good morning, Father McCabe. Come in and sit down.
Oh, thank you, Governor.
Oh, but it's cruel weather. Never have I known the heat so bad. This is when a man feels his age.
Could I tempt you?
Oh, but that isn't temptation, sir. It's a great kindness to a tired old man.
There you are.
Oh, what a blessing it is.
A new batch of convicts arrived last month, Father. There were, eight who called themselves Catholics.
Oh, good, good, good. You got the list there.
Yes, here it is.
Let's have a look now. Bowman, Fraser, O'Reilly. John Boyle O'Reilly. This is the O'Reilly.
It depends what you mean by the O'Reilly, Father.
Well, do you know, the younger, the rebel who was drummed out of the army for spreading sedition.
It's the same man.
Well, good gracious. Well, now, what...
You seem delighted he's here, Father.
Well, it's a change, sir. You know, a change from the usual type of man. John O'Reilly.
I do advise you to be careful of this young man, Father.
Careful of him? Careful, but... But he's a well-known poet, and before he joined the Hussars, he was showing great promise as a writer.
He has a suave manner and a glib tongue.
A typical Irishman.
I must advise you, Father, that I will not tolerate any seditious talk from him while he's here.
That I can well believe. May I hold my usual service for these men?
Yes, of course. Fleming?
Sir?
Take Father McCabe and round up his flock for him.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Owen Fleming?
Sir?
Just keep your eye on O'Reilly.
You don't think so?
When two Irishmen get together, Fleming, I don't know what to think, but I fear the worst.
O'Reilly, how glad I am to meet you. Oh, you're much younger than I thought you'd be.
I feel at least 100 years old, Father. Each gerrard tree I chop down adds another 10 euros.
I've heard about you, O'Reilly.
Oh, from the governor. A dangerous, seditious prisoner.
I knew about you when it was happening.
You mean
Dublin Castle? I had a friend.
Oh.
He spoke of you.
The governor here reminded me that, as a conspirator, I wasn't altogether a success. I talked too much.
You were betrayed.
Curse Talbot. Now curse him! The troops were behind me, and then he turned traitor. Curse him!
We must do something about getting you away from here.
What? Escape?
Of course.
You would
help me. I think as you do, O'Reilly. I feel a patriotic devotion toward my country.
But what can we do, Father?
There is only one way for you to leave here, and that is by sea. They track you down over land. No, it must be the sea.
Oh, that'll mean a boat, and I
have friends amongst the American whaling fleet calling at Fremantle for water. Perhaps I could, persuade one of the captains to take you to Java.
You mean pick me up on the coast
No, no, O'Reilly. It would have to be more subtle than that. He'll have to pull off from the coast in a boat and row the 40 miles to Cape Naturalist, where a ship could then pick you up.
Oh, it sounds a splendid plan, Father. But there is one problem. Where do I find a boat in this God-forsaken place?
There is Maguire.
Who? Huh?
A free settler who has a shack here at Bunbury will enlist his help. After all, we are Irish together.
So you're talking to the priest, O'Reilly? Were you making plans?
Making plans? I don't understand.
Is he helping
what
you
plans?
To escape?
What? That old man helping me to escape? I wish with all my heart it were true. Unfortunately, no.
I noticed that the governor was watching you as well.
I was confessing my many sins to the old man.
Oh, come off it. What's he arranging?
On my word of honor, nothing.
Well, I'm with you, whatever it is.
I thought we decided that escape from this hole is impossible.
You decided, not me. With help from the outside, it could be arranged. I've worked it all out. There's a 40-mile strip of sea to be crossed.
A sturdy boat is needed. Not one of your homemade contraptions, Bowman. But a boat that can stand up to the elements. I've no particular desire to end up as a meal for a hungry shark.
You're up to something, O'Reilly. I know it.
I'm sure he's up to something, Fleming. I know it.
He's giving no trouble, sir. Far less than most of them. He works with a will.
That is what makes me so confoundedly suspicious. O'Reilly is being too cooperative. This is not in character.
Well, I can't point a finger at him, sir.
I noticed him talking at length to the priest when he came yesterday.
Well, sir, I suppose...
I have the most uneasy feeling that the two of them are in cahoots.
Ah, but not the priest, sir.
He is an Irishman, and so is O'Reilly. Blood is thicker than water. I don't trust any of them. Warn your men to keep a close watch on him. There has never been a successful escape from the settlement, and I don't want O'Reilly to ruin my record.
Yes, sir.
I would rather he were dead.
Father McCabe, this is a pleasant surprise. Sit down, sit down.
Oh, thank you, Captain. Have you had a successful trip?
Oh, yeah, but whaling's becoming more and more difficult. There are too many regulations now. It's like working for the civil service.
When do you leave again?
Oh, providing we've taken on supplies, next Monday.
Ah.
Why do you ask, Father?
Well, Captain Gifford, I have a great favor to ask of you.
Anything, Father, anything.
It concerns a friend of mine. He requires a passage to Java.
Oh, but of course, it'll be a pleasure. He's a priest?
Well, no, he's not a priest. As a matter of fact, he's on the Bunbury penal settlement.
You mean a prisoner?
I consider him a political prisoner.
Now, wait a minute, Father, just wait a minute. You can count me out. I'm not getting myself involved in any prison break. No, thank you. I don't want to be blacklisted by the authorities here in Fremantle. We've got to keep on the right side of them. And as for political prisoners, they're dynamite.
This man is different. He can claim direct descent from the Irish kings of Munster. He's educated. He's a poet of...
Yes, Father, I understand. But how come he landed up in Bunbury, eh?
Well, he joined the Hussars.
I know. And he preached sedition?
He is a true Irishman.
Father, unless you want to be blacklisted as well, keep right out of this.
Oh, well, there's £10 for the captain of the ship that gets him to Java. 10 whole pounds.
Not for £100.
Oh.
In any case, it can't be done. How is a prisoner in that settlement going to reach Fremantle?
But that isn't the plan, not Fremantle.
Oh?
Cape Naturalist.
And how does he reach there? Swim across the shark-infested bay of Geograph?
He could row to 40 miles. That's possible, you know.
That requires a boat.
We have a boat.
What?
All that has been arranged. All I ask is that my friend is picked up and taken to Java. And from there he can find his way to America. And you're the man to do it, Captain.
Oh, but if the authorities suspect...
They won't.
Look, the governor of Bunbury is no fool. I know him.
Neither am I a fool, Captain. You'll do it?
I'll do it. Which just goes to show, I suppose, Father, that I am the fool to be talked into it.
O'Reilly, what? Quickly, this way. Luck's with us. There's no moon.
Where's the boat?
I've hidden it down on the beach. There's no chance of anyone finding it there. What time is the roll call?
Another hour.
That'll give us time to launch the boat, but we must hurry, O'Reilly.
Right.
You haven't spoken of this to anyone.
I'm not a living soul.
Well, be careful of these brambles. Yeah, that's it. Now, you've got to be careful, O'Reilly. If any suspicion of your escape falls on me, I lose my freedom.
I swear to you, not a soul knows about this.
Good. Now, come on. Let's push on faster. Here's the boat, O'Reilly. Give me a hand with it.
Oh, of course.
Just get the sand away from there. That's it. It's coming. This is a fine, sturdy craft. Here are the oars.
Oh, good. I'm grateful to you for all this, Maguire.
You can thank Father McCabe. A fine gentleman he is. That's got it. Now, we launch it from here.
Evening, gentlemen.
Come on, the devil.
You'll be needing some help.
Woman... You knew about this.
I'll be coming with you, O'Reilly.
I thought you didn't tell anyone about your escape plans,
but
O'Reilly.
I swear I didn't, Maguire.
I heard him talking to the priest.
You heard us.
Oh, I wish to heaven I'd never got myself involved in all this. I'm a free settler and... Who else heard the conversation?
Only me, because I'm smart. Only me. I knew the two of them were up to something. I heard the priest talking about ship's captain who's prepared to take O'Reilly to Java. So I thought, well... Why not me?
There is no place in this for you, Bowman.
The arrangement was for a single prisoner.
That's right. Look, I'm prepared to do this for a fellow Irishman, but not a murderous old lad. I'll beat it.
You wouldn't like me to tell the authorities now, would you?
What?
It'd look bad for the priest to have got himself involved in a prison break. And you, Maguire, a free settler?
Are you threatening
me? I'm advising you to cooperate with me. The two of you.
Easy, Maguire. They've missed us. No, come on.
Am I included?
Well, grab the boat.
Willingly, O'Reilly. I thought you'd see sense.
I get back to my farm.
No, thank you, Maguire. Hey, it's a good friend you've been.
I only hope to heaven they don't suspect
me. Now, come on, Bowman. Let's launch the boat. Now, easy now.
Well, Fleming, any luck?
Not a sign of O'Reilly, sir. Bowman's missing, too.
So I've been told. It seems unlikely, somehow, that those two men could have arranged this together.
I was wondering about the priest, sir. He's been seeing quite a lot of O'Reilly.
Yeah, we must be careful about making accusations without proper evidence, Fleming. Father McCabe has been calling here for years, and there has never been anything against him. O'Reilly is a political prisoner, a plausible scoundrel.
Would you like to question the priest, sir?
Oh, we'll deny all knowledge of it. No, we've got to find O'Reilly. Have you sent out the trackers?
Yes, sir.
He wouldn't be fool enough to try to swim the bay. I've warned him about the sharks. I wonder if he managed to get a boat from someone.
But who on earth would provide him with a boat, sir?
Maguire?
Maguire? Oh, but I know him, sir. He'd never do anything to risk his freedom.
He's another blasted Irishman. I don't trust any of them. You'd better bring him in for questioning. Oh, I don't think it'll do much good.
You're wasting your time looking for the ship, O'Reilly. It's not coming.
Will you stop grumbling, Bowman?
I'll say we should pull back to Bunbury and give ourselves up.
I'd rather die here than do that. The ship will call for us.
No, you've been saying that now every day. There's still no sign of it.
I'm waiting.
I was a fool to come.
Well, I didn't ask you now, did I? I didn't want you. It was your idea. You pushed your way into this, so don't go on about it. I'm content to sit here and wait.
It's been 10 days.
It could be another 20 days. After the whaling bark is taken on supplies in Fremantle, it'll call here.
We've only got food for another few days. Water supplies drying up. What are we going to eat and drink, eh? No, I ask you
that. Look, there's the rowing boat. Climb aboard and go back to Bunbury. Give yourself up to the governor, but leave me here in peace. I'm sick to death of your continual grumbling.
Oh, it's the heat, O'Reilly. It's the heat. It's killing me. The sun bakes down on this island and you feel...
Oh, don't think about it. Wait a minute, look. Look over there.
Hey. It's the boat. Here. Let me take my
turtle. Hold hard, Bowman. That's not a sailing bark.
It's a boat. That's all I care about. I'm going to the
beach.
That's
a gunboat stationed at Fremantle.
Is it?
They must be out looking for us. That's why Captain Gibbet has kept away.
Well, I'm going to give myself up.
Over my dead body, you do that, Bowman.
You're going to stay in here if no one will come and rescue us. I'd rather give myself up.
And be shoved in solitary confinement for the rest of your life.
Well, what's the alternative?
Anything is better than that. Now, they don't seem to be lowering a boat. Aye. Now, keep in the shadow of these bushes, Bowman.
I wonder if McGuire's confessed.
Oh, never. This is only a routine check. Now, do you see? They're moving slowly to the north.
Yeah. It's true. You're right.
Now, don't move until they're out of sight. They've more than likely got their glasses on this spot. Now, keep down and don't risk anything. Dear Father McCabe, I'm writing this letter from Cape Naturalist, where we've been waiting now for 25 days. The gunboat has been sniffing us out like an irritable terrier, but we've managed to escape capture. Now, food and water are in very short supply, and I must confess that I've had my moments of despair and wonder whether Captain Gifford will ever keep his promise and snatch us to freedom. I even write this letter with doubt in my heart. Will I ever be able to post it? And then...
O'Reilly! O'Reilly, look! Look there! There's the ship, do you see?
By heavens, yes!
And it's not a gunboat!
That's the bark we've been waiting for! Now, come on! Let's get down to the beach and attract their attention!
You wish to see me, Governor?
Yes, Father McCabe. It's about those two prisoners who escaped from here.
Oh, you found them, then?
You know perfectly well that I have not found them.
But how would I know that?
I've no doubt in my mind at all that you were responsible for their escape.
Oh, but I assure you that...
They were obviously provided with a boat. and they rowed across the bay to Cape Naturalist.
But the poor misguided souls may have perished in the wilderness.
I had trackers on the job. There was no sign of them. Shall we stop the charade, Father? This newspaper may be of interest to you, the New York Times. I received it through the post this morning. This item here.
Let me have a look. Finian hero lands on American soil. What? John Boyle O'Reilly? Well, I'm blessed. Imagine that now.
Yes, imagine it.
A lecture tour of the States and a poetry reading. Oh, he's a celebrity. He escaped from the notorious penal settlement of Bunbury. Oh, notorious governor. Oh, dear, dear me. When the ship he escaped on called at Rodriguez in the Indian Ocean for water, the governor decided to search it for the Finian escapee. Oh, I see, and Bowman was seized and taken ashore. Oh, and the search for O'Reilly was abandoned when members of the crew swore he had committed suicide by leaping overboard into the sea.
Oh. If I knew for certain that you were responsible for his escape, Father...
No, there is no evidence whatsoever. Now, may I continue the reading of this here? Hold on. Off the Cape of Good Hope, O'Reilly transferred to another American ship bound for Liverpool, where he hid in the house of an Irish family in the dockside slums.
The best place for him.
Easy, easy. Let's have no bit of words now. In the dockside slums till he sign on as third mate in a bark sailing for Philadelphia. Oh, so he arrived safely and to a hero's welcome, did he?
McGuire was in this with you, wasn't he, Father?
McGuire in it? In what? Oh, come, sir, what could McGuire do to help O'Reilly?
Provide him with a boat, because he must have had one to cross the bay. Oh, it was cleverly organized, Father. I congratulate you. Ha! A hero's welcome. Front page news. A little traitor. You can sit there smiling
no,
with this...
No, let's have no temper, Governor. Oh, just imagine that. O'Reilly's a hero now.
Dear Father, your letter received, and the contents noted with great interest. I'm delighted that there has been no evidence found to link either you or McGuire to my escape from Bunbury. Those days seem like a nightmare from which I have woken. I have settled in Boston, and I am working on the Pilot, the chief organ of Irish sentiment in America. There are many crazy plans afoot, including a campaign of murder and terrorism, of which I do not approve. Give my remembrances to the governor when you next see him, and my apologies for any inconvenience I caused.
Listen again next week for another unforgettable story from our Springbok Library of the Air.